Good afternoon. As we ask them to roll the tape, start by welcoming you, and my name is Mole Fetsile. Those who have just joined us today, you are joining us on a series of lectures where I'm reflecting on the certain aspects of African traditional life and what impact Christianity has had on them. And I want to make it clear that there has been a lot of changes. So some of the things that I'm talking about may be on their way out, some of them are just being reborn again, etc. But this is part of the fabric that you, if you are familiar of them, may help you to get an understanding of African Christians and African Christianity, what is called African theology. The theme today is on processes of formation of young people, what you may call traditional education programs or processes. So I'm going to look at the program of initiation on the one hand and of confirmation on the other. Before I do that, let me just ask you to reflect, what would you regard as the major or important steps you have had to make, or a normal person have had to make in his life?
In what?
In his or her life. Important decisions or steps or actions or things that a normal person, as you grow from young person to adulthood, you have had to make in your life.
Choosing my vocation and finding a wife.
Yes.
And I'd say finding a husband. Finding, I mean, it just sort of happened, but. Yeah.
Going to school.
What is that? The school?
Yes, school.
Okay. Location of where you live.
Oh, location.
Developing
identity.
Identity.
Oh, identity. Some may say friends you keep or company you keep. Okay.
Having children.
Right.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Having children.
Yeah. Or even raising children. Now, Now let me just ask you this further question. Which of these things are you taught at school? Are you taught at school to choose a career?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you taught at school about marriage?
Not much.
Are you taught at school to propose a marriage partner?
No.
Okay, school, maybe you're taught at school about choosing a school. Are you taught at school about the where you should stay and so on?
No.
No.
Well, are you taught at school about the company you should keep, friends and so on?
No.
Yes, sometimes.
Okay, sometimes, yes. I think. Are you taught at school about the aspects of childbirth or child raising, etc.?
They try. In the college only, but not lower grades.
Not
high
lower
school grade. They do, to an extent, but I don't know. Very little. Very little.
Specials.
And a small, let's put a small to indicate that. Pasha. Now, the point is here is that there are major steps that people take, which in present life it's taken for granted that somehow you will know how to do it. It's taken for granted that somehow you get to know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You kind of think that, well, you know, your child will know that it's about time that he should marry or avoid getting a child, maybe, etc., etc. Now, that is the first basis of African education, that they never took for granted very important steps that a person has to make in his life. They make sure that you are at least even there. Welcome. Even a person of the lowest intelligence in the community, at least on those major things, you will come at. Now, that is the long and short of the program called initiation. I will then see how this process was disrupted when most of the Africans became Christians, and how there was a battle between initiation and confirmation, where African people expected confirmation class to do for them what initiation was doing. And you can begin to understand that there are certain limitations that confirmation has, but there are also certain strengths that it has. So let's see then what actually initiation is all about. To imagine the crisis in which they were in terms of this institution called initiation. Imagine yourself if today in the way your life is, suddenly they can say that universities are no longer there. They must close. If suddenly they can say universities must close, universities or schools or colleges, etc. In other words, those institutions where you accredit a person to say this person is qualified to do A, B, C, if suddenly it's closed down, or for some reason, if maybe certain systems of health can simply be said to no longer happen. A major portion of society will be disrupted. And this is exactly what happened when confirmation came to replace initiation. That a number of things which were, it was known that initiation will take care of, suddenly they were just in limbo. Nobody knew who's going to do this, how do you know that this person can do it, and so on and so on. Now, one such crisis which came in an ordinary African education process was the preparation of young people for adulthood. And that preparation for young people for adulthood is what I say was the central role of initiation, and is what I said, it was never taken for granted that a person, as soon as he's 21, will know how to behave like a 21-year-old. It was central that a person must be trained or must learn to become an adult. Obviously, from what I've said, it becomes very clear that an African educational process was guided by certain socially useful interests. Society had certain interests which were useful for it. And then those interests guided the education process. It guided what is happening at the initiation schools. Now, I'll just give you an example of what are those socially useful interests. For an example, good behavior. Society knew that it's very it's socially useful to have young people who behave, who conduct themselves well. Don't drink, you don't go about speaking lies, you don't go about insulting people, you have good conduct. And that is common for all societies. And which I would imagine, at least maybe to some extent, your schools are supposed to prepare your young people for that.
That's how you got to be a good ancestor, then, too.
Of course. It is linked with the ancestorship, which we spoke to about yesterday. Another one which is very interesting where you were to is how to address or how to talk to other people, how to communicate with other people, especially how to talk or how to address your elders, people who are your seniors. This is what at initiation school young people were being taught. They were told that you can talk like this with your friends, with the people you are now at school with. Anybody who went to initiation school a year before you is already your elder. Which means if I go to initiation school at age 14, person who went there age 15, who is age 15, is already my elder. And there's a way I speak to him, which is completely different from what I speak to people of my age, 14, and those who come below me.
Malachi, was this a physical building that they went to, an initiation school? Was it a building?
No, it wasn't a building as such. It was it depended, but most of it was just in a camp. It was just a camp, mostly in the mountains and at the roughest spots possible.
So these were taken?
Yeah.
And this is boys and girls?
Boys and girls, but go to different initiation schools.
What percentage of young people got to go to that?
Everybody.
Everybody?
Yeah. You wouldn't be a full member of society.
Okay.
In the same way that you can't be a full member of a congregation without being a confirmed member, you can't take part in church council. It's the same, you can't take part in the village as a citizen until such time that you had gone to initiation school.
What was the age
then? It really, the age, there is the starting age, but if for some reason you dodged going to initiation school, they can send you even when you are age 40. You have to at one stage or another, but then there is a starting age, which I think initially that average age was about 17, 18, the age where a person is expected to start a family when he comes back. But with the schooling system coming, the age went down and down, because then people were now, they didn't want initiation school to interrupt their maybe you are doing grade 8 and you are preparing for going to college, and it was a little bit disruptive. So the average age then became 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
You went at
14
or 15?
Okay.
How long a period of time? Was it 2 weeks? Was it a whole year?
It differed from, most areas it would be 6 months, but the common practice in my age was about 3 months at most.
Mm-hmm. Was this something that you chose as a person that got to be 18 and they chose to do it? And were there some that didn't do it?
You don't choose. If you are a member of a particular family,
the family
send their children to that place.
That's right.
And you get sent whether you like it or not. And they don't discuss. You get kidnapped. You don't know. They can just say, hey, there is somebody who has arrived. Can you come and see him? And you just get into the room, you get kidnapped. You're gone for 6 months. Nobody would know where you are. What happened? You don't even tell your friend that, chaps, tomorrow I'm going. You don't know when you're going. Your parents arranged with your uncles and so on privately. They know that on Friday, such and such a time, come. This will make sure that this person is around that time. And you were playing in the street with your friends, and suddenly your mom calls you, and you're gone.
You never know the hour nor the day.
Never. You are not supposed to know.
Now, was that unique to South Africa, or was that?
It's common to all what are regarded as Bantu speaking Africans. Yes.
In Nigeria, where so many of our people were out in the bush. 20,000 people in a village. Did that happen there too? The village people?
Everywhere.
For goodness sake.
Okay, let me before we get into this some other aspect which I have not mentioned of imaging, but just go into what is being taught. What are those things that I said are social the guiding interests? Now I ended up on that where you need to know how to talk, how to address people. One of the interesting one is you were being taught there how to reprimand somebody. And the trick was you must reprimand somebody without humiliating him.
That's right.
Let me give you an example of what was something which is common in Africa. If somebody says to you, if we are seated here as a group, and I say, hey, John, you've got blood on your forehead. Everybody is going to say, what is it on the forehead? Okay? But a person who's trained knows that basically I'm saying that your fly is open. So other people will immediately look up, and then when you hear me, you'll tell me. Okay? So it's a way of, I didn't just embarrass you, and nobody saw anything, and but yet I told you, Chip, something's wrong.
So you just look up? No.
Yeah, you just, you know, immediately a person says something, you know, oh, he means actually, where other people are not supposed to know, that's what I'm talking about. When you look, for example, when I read books on how to influence people, how to make friends and so on, all those things is what initiation school is supposed to be training you for. Okay, so it means that you can begin to see how much you're losing. But let me go and list a few things without wasting a lot of time. How to make a living. You mentioned career there. How to make a living. How to be a craft person, builder, farmer, hunter. All those things are part of initiation program. Obviously, I will mention later that you do not necessarily, like we do in the school, you are taught immediately that thing directly. With the initiation, it could also be to train you to know how to accumulate certain things over the years. For example, I aspire to become a builder. At initiation school, they can train me to know who with whom to associate and how many years I must be prepared to work with that person if I want to be as good a builder as he is. So I just know the basics. I may not go to initiation school and come back knowing how to build, but I may know what it will take for me to become one and what kind of attitude I need to have. I don't have, for example, it's also a question of how you should be a student and know that I'm a student and don't think I'm already an expert, because that's part of the problem. If you are trained as a pastor for 4 years, you get ordained. A person who is properly trained in the form would know that I have been given the skills on how to learn from all the people who have been pastors over the years, how to be a good pastor. Not to say that I'm now an expert on how congregations are, etc., etc. So it's that attitude which they teach you. And I've mentioned how to propose a marriage. One of the very, very important things. You don't just force a girl and say, "Are you going to marry me?" Or you don't just dare. You are being taught. You want to get married? This is how you should show this girl that you're interested in marriage. This is how you should do it, and so on and so on. And it's not just left for you to learn it from some novels or what. Once you go to initiation school, at least it's known that you will know what to say to a girl if you really want to propose. And don't be double speak. Maybe she didn't understand me, maybe what, you will know. And the other important one is how to become a mother of children and a father of children. Another one can say how to become a wife. That is the most important one, which actually, in most cases, that is why in African society, you do not really expected that you can marry before you went to initiation school. They would say you don't know how to become a husband or a wife. So you had to go first. And that was one of the major reasons which forced some young men to go there, because now they want to get married and they want their uncles to go and ask a wife for them. And then the uncle says, listen, I can't go and ask a wife for a person who is not yet going to initiation school, and that forces you to go. I've already mentioned one of the important things is how to settle a dispute and how to present your case if you are being accused before a council of elders. It's basically, you can say that you are being taught how to become a lawyer, how to keep quiet and let the other person speak, and how to request an opportunity to say your case and not just shout to one another. That was not part of the game. And another important thing, how to be a member of society, what you may call citizenship. You want to be a member of society, you need to know how to be one in terms of the rules or regulations or accepted practices of elders and so on as part of that. And another important one is how to protect yourself. You have to fight, you have to be strong. It's just like an army. You have to develop, do exercise and so on and so on. So if somebody comes and wants to terrorize your wife and children, you need to be able to stand up for them. And this fighting also has to do with how to take part in a particular regiment. And the other one is how to stay healthy. What to eat and what not to eat, and when to eat it, when not to eat. You would know that if you drink this too much, you're going to have these types of disease and so on, and what to avoid. And also related to health, how to treat minor ailments. And this especially for mothers or women. If a child, child is given birth and then umbilical cord is like this, you would know, you'll be taught how to treat it. And you should imagine that this is in the villages where there is no clinic, no doctor, nothing, but the child will be healthy. And if something happens, you know what to take for minor treatment, etc. Unless it becomes a big issue, then you know where to go. Another important one is how to cope to cope with a failing marriage or a big crisis. What do you do if your husband suddenly is going around and you know he's maybe and so on? What do you do? You'll be taught where to go and whom to avoid. First rule of the thumb, don't go to your friends and tell them. Because possibly their husbands are doing the same thing, and then you'll simply be, it will be as if all this is what everybody is doing and you give up. You know whom to go in the whole family system. There will be a specific person. It's very easy to go to an old widow in the village or within the immediate family and say to him, I've got a problem. This person doesn't sleep at home. He comes this time and he beats me and so on and so on. And you dare not talk to somebody who you grew up with about that. So all those things, important things here, which you never mentioned, important changes, for example, what happens if you become widowed? That's an important stage in your life. You mentioned marriage, okay? It's one you were suddenly singing, become we have a marriage part. What happens if that person is no longer there? That's another aging phase in your life. Now you get taught what do you do within this new phase of life? Now, all these are interests that are very useful on their own. You begin to realize that you are poor without skills of how to deal with them. Now, just a few lists about the initiation school. I mentioned that normally you have been taken without preparation, and then it happens in winter when it's cold. It happens far away from home. You don't have absolutely no contact with your family. Part of what happens there, especially for boys, is that you get circumcised. And one of the reasons why it happens in winter is because it is easier for circumcision to heal when the temperature is cold than in summer. And that's why it happens in winter. And sometimes death does occur, and the family is only informed at the end of the process. You can die there within a month of coming. They won't know until everybody comes out at the end of the graduation and your boy is not there. So if there is always an anxiety of the family, is when the boys come out, all you do, just send a bowl maybe of corn, and then you go away and you hope that he's still there. Then after that period, then you send maybe blankets, new blankets for them to open, and they come out. And everybody's watching. Is mine among them? But I would say that during my time, the such deaths were not really very common. It was rare cases, so it was kind of taken automatic that the person would come back. Now, about me in particular, and possibly with the Mudiehi, is that our parents were some of those people who were Christianized much earlier. That by the time we grew up, most of our friends were going to initiation school, but my family had abandoned that, and the same with me there. So we didn't really experience initiation school. And so, now...
Well, how did you feel about that?
You see, during that time, that is where confirmation comes.
Okay.
Because when our friends went, our parents would say, you see, they are going to their own confirmation, you must go to your confirmation. Kind of, we thought that when I go to a confirmation school, it's our form of initiation. And this is what we all believed. Hmm. And I would say, oh, so you are old now because you come from an initiation school. I'm going to be confirmed at the end of the year, and I will also be a brother, kind of an older person. And in some respect, this is how our churches treated confirmation and confirmed people. You were confirmed to wear a suit, and your younger people called you a title, which basically translated brother, but it means my elder, whenever you are given confirmed. Okay. Now, as I say, when most people, when Christianity came, that part of the crisis I was talking about, when the two cultures come together, is that one of them was reflected on the fact that Christianity said, no, don't do initiation, it's wrong. Instead, bring your children to confirmation class. We will teach your women how to be not only wives and mothers, but how to be Christian wives and mothers. Okay? And so people said, well, maybe this will be good. Let's go there. But over the years, it just went down to teaching a child the books of the Bible, the 66, Genesis, and so on. And it never came to handle those important things that initiation was doing. In some respect, they did teach the Ten Commandments and try to teach how to respect your mother and father, but it was not the way initiation school was teaching. But you can begin to see that African Christians expected a lot from confirmation, because confirmation was replacing an important central educational institution in their lives. So this also explains the role, the prestigious role that pastors had in an African village. Because pastors were becoming equals to this person who is called the initiation master in the African village, who was the philosopher, the historian, the person who really formed the village. Now pastors were there. In fact, the translation, the African translation of the word pastor means teacher. In most African languages, pastor means teacher, if you translate it into an African language. So, confirmation was mainly expected to teach sex education, or at least what you may call a sex morality. It did, but in a low-key way. I would say maybe Martin Luther during his time did better than the way we interpret his catechism today. Our confirmation is mainly for one year. And it makes a difference with the initiation, where they go for close to 4 to 5 months or 6 months, but away from their home. Because the impact, the change that happened, you know, your child can be very playful, let loose child, not taking anything serious, and it just goes away. And when he comes back, he calculates what he's going to say. He chooses friends. Everything, you suddenly see a change in that person. Now, we need to pose, as we go towards the end, we need to pose two questions. The first one is, what is the state of affairs now in African communities? Especially with this advancement that we have. And secondly, what lessons? So what for you? What lessons do you draw as churches from the developed, industrialized world, which are still, nevertheless, struggling with the same challenges of preparing the youth for adulthood, or of preparing the youth for these major phases that they are going to have in their lives? And mom, you'll be so many miles away, you will solve them by coast-to-coast telephone, or if you are Margaret or Stavanger, you won't solve those problems by calling across the Atlantic and say, do this and so on and so on. How do you get to prepare that? And I always make fun to Americans that, you know, I think you seem to be leaving it to the Cosby Show and 90210 to help you sort out your children in preparing them for adulthood. And this is one of the saddest things that you really take so much for granted. Or you seem to say, you will get to know one way or another. We Africans don't gamble on those things, especially. Now, the current situation in Africa has kind of somehow moved full circle, because initially we had a phase when people, as I said, send their children to initiation school. And some of them felt that there is nothing wrong to hold the two things side by side. They send their children to initiation school, and after they came back from initiation school, they send them to the Methodist Church for confirmation, and they became Christians. And they knew the other things which they're not being taught in the church, and so on. So there was kind of a way of holding the two together. And later, emphasis became on the careers that people were getting by going to college. You want to become a nurse, a teacher, and so on. and this is the only way to make money. Now, those things I talked about, interest guiding factors of education. These were new interests in education. Suddenly, you could not become rich by being a good hunter, because now the society in which you live did not. It's economic base that moved from hunting and so on to another base. So then it became more wiser to go and become a teacher and have your child be an important person in the village and become a principal or a pastor, etc. So now people send their children after this to college. But in most cases, it will be a person who has experienced initiation, went to confirmation, and then went to college. Most of the writings by West African writers are people who have experienced initiation. Then they write about it as something they know, Ichinua Achebe, Ngudua Kiongo, and many others. And these are people who have trained in England, in British colleges, but they went through these three stages. And so you begin to see, even today, this is what I call full circle, which has happened, is that some people who had left initiation and never went because of now becoming more Christian than like myself, they begin to ask, how can we get the things that we missed when in initiation, which were being offered by initiation? And this is where the Afrocentrism is emerging, even in schools. The African content of education in African schools, to say, can African schools, over and above teaching you how to become a clerk and so on, also teach you those things that initiation school was teaching, good citizenship, how to etiquette and so on, and manners and all those things. Okay? Now, what are the lessons for you? I think that the first one is to say that you need to really, one way or another, take the formation of your youth more seriously. And as I mentioned about this way of going out, I know of the complexities, and I don't want to prescribe anything, but an experience like retreat, like going to Holden, you may not know how much impact and change it may have on the formation of youth and character. And those are some of the spaces that could be used. There is a notion that is part of the initiation school that I see happening in some American in an American culture. Most of you know what is the notion which is called the class of this year, class of 76, class of 92, and so on. This is something which is very common in the initiation education program, because the people you went to initiation school with, you can never be cleverer than them, nor duller than them. You are all people of that class, and people of the, I think the translation of the word means class, but in African language, for example, is more part of, or what is it in Soto? Same? Yeah, it's like a group of people who are contemporaries. It's very class. Now, as a rule, for an example, in initiation school, no individual is beyond the class. In hunting or in displaying certain acts of bravery, it is accepted that everyone contributes as a class. If you fight a lion somewhere out there, and somebody definitely fought more than everybody, it's the whole class which will fight the lion. And what is interesting here is that, you know, the initiation masters, that is the elders, make it a point to remind the one who is obviously the brightest or the bravest of them all, to remind him that let not pride carry him. And sometimes they trap him to humiliate him, obviously. They just put some traps to make him fail. It's like seeing some games here in America where a coach is worried about a young person with potential, but this person, pride is getting the upper part of him. And the coach somehow plots for this bright boy to be frustrated. Just for him to get the part of, and so that the victory, it becomes everybody shares in it. And but as it normally happens, basically to fight, to neutralize some arrogance that easily develops if you are more stronger than everybody. Because later on, it may actually be dangerous. It may act against you. And then the idea here is that if you all learn together, you face the same dangers together, and if one of you does something wrong, you all get punishment, and a common identity develops so much so that in later life, if one person who is a member of your class fails, he becomes a disgrace, not only for himself, but people outside. Oh, look at these children of the class of 92. Because one of you is done, but it will be as if all of you are like that. And so other people take care to call that what anybody who's from their class to order whenever it gets off. Listen, don't make disgrace the name of our class. And therefore they work as comradeship, which continues even up to adulthood. So that the whole image is not something. Now, as I'm reflecting on this, why I said you have something closer to that. You have, for an example, sports or sporting codes, which are conducted on the principle of the Olympic, where the team gets the medal. You have most of your military discipline is based on the entire regiment of a particular being the one which performed well. Although, because you America, the whole culture of one person imaging is really ingrained, you still give honors to one person out of that and say this one was a good pilot and so let's honor him. And that is something which, if under normal circumstances, if all of us risked our lives and somebody just somehow managed to fire two enemy aeroplanes, we really think that all of us must be rewarded. It becomes different if suddenly there's a big function in Washington and only that one person is invited and is given an award. So you begin to see why this thing, when you do in team way, the idea of team spirit, in other words, it's something that I am trying to say can still be retrieved and promoted. And this is the idea of team spirit, is part of what initiation education was based on. I will just end by an example of what happened. I was a member of an organization that worked for the change of education in South Africa. And we did a lot of things that paved the way for what you see happen in South Africa today. We became one of the first organizations to publicly speak with the ANC outside, even when we knew that the government will arrest us. And we did so many things. And indeed, we got arrested. And certain people took notice of that. One organization in New York consulted me, and there was one of our colleagues in the NECC when I was already in America. They came to me and said, listen, we want to give an award to somebody in South Africa, and then we have identified a person who was your colleague, was the chairperson of this organization. I was the secretary. Is it okay? Would it be okay if we bring him to New York and then we give him this award? I said, oh, fine, I'm sure you will do, it's a good thing. I said, but don't you think it may be possible that you give the award to the organization and he can come and receive it on behalf of the organization? And they didn't understand that thinking. They thought that, well, it makes better if we give it to a person rather than to, because I said to him, that person is a team member. You what did he do? Well, he did. I said, no, the team did that. And I'm sure if you do, he will appreciate it himself if you tell him you're giving the award to the National Education Crisis Committee. And after some consultation, they ended up bringing a Catholic brother who was working with the South African Catholic bishops and this person I'm talking about as two joint recipients, because they didn't want to give it to one organization. Anyway, that didn't bother me, but just this is just to show you the thinking and mentality about this whole thing. Okay, now let's hear your questions.
Who teaches these schools?
These are the people like I've called initiation masters, and mainly these are the elders of the village who are well respected, who have the knowledge of how the whole history, how the village came into being, that was before the folklore. They are the what we call the wise elders of the village. And they most of them also know the medical skills, the traditional medical skills. They are powerful people in some respect, but they're not necessarily from the royal family. They're not necessarily the royalty. Just somebody who knows, and together with the elders, they all the village know this person is the one you can entrust the training of our children to him. And he himself may choose other people according to their skills to help him. If, for example, you want somebody who wants to teach the young people about how to fight with sticks, he will know there's a good person who knows this, and then he will. If he wants to teach them about maybe hunting, he will know that there's somebody who has skills. Or if you want to teach them about various herbs, there may be somebody who knows them. He will come and sit with them and take everything and say, if you find a tree like this, don't eat it, it's poison. If you see it like this, you can eat it, it's okay. If it can stay so many weeks before being eaten, it becomes poison. And they already know all these things.
It seems like an awful lot of material to learn in 6 months. Do these kids individually each have a sponsor then afterwards? Or do they just depend upon the elders in the tribe then to kind of shore up their memory if they kind of forget?
I think it has more to do with you know the basics. If for some reason you are confused, you also know who to ask. But because you know there is a difference between these herbs, but I've forgotten which is which. And it's unlike if you're just blank. You just go there, you eat something, and you drink water. For example, they would know if a snake bites you, this kind of snake will take so much time, don't drink water if this one does this, do this with this. And so that thing goes on, and you may not know everything at that time, but as age goes, you become also an expert, that you, when your children come, you can also remind them about it.
Is there a class system in the society, like in a tribe or an area, and do they recognize the different classes, or do they merge them because they are different levels? How do they treat, and then number two would be, how do they treat other cultures, other races, other whatever? You know, I mean, is that a part of the training in this initiation school?
The last question first. Okay. They would treat others not so much in terms of races, but in terms of neighboring village or neighboring people, could be of a different tribe. Therefore, they will teach them how to live peacefully with those people. If they want, don't go about provoking us. If girls from that place do this, don't go and do this and so on, because that most wars would start there. So that kind is part of citizenship, okay? But at the same time, it would be how to extend your hospitality. What are the extents of hospitalities that you could give to people of other? Not necessarily these tribes we know, but another tribe we do not know may just come. What do you do if suddenly there is a strange person amongst you of another tribe or your language, etc.? There are ways of knowing, be hospitable to you. Up to this so far, announcing if maybe this person is to stay, to ask him how long he's going to stay, maybe he's passing through, and all those things. But if the person is there to stay, he becomes a foreigner, there are other teachings how he is to be integrated within the tribe, so that then you've got a foreign element within the tribe. But then your first question, if you remind me again, classes. Now, yes, there is absolutely no differential treatment about children as long as they are there. The initiation master may not even know which of these children is the king's son, which is not the king's son. They are all children of the same age. And their parents
age, chronological age or physical age, or what are we talking about age? Who determines that? Is it the parent that says it?
It would be their parents who say that our children are of this group. So maybe it would be a 15 to 17 age group, and they become the same class. But the important thing is that you do not necessarily say my father is an important person every day, so I'm going to treat him. Even your colleagues here would not. You lose that identity for as long as you are there. You can take it back when you come out, if you do come out. And sometimes it is even dangerous to draw that attention to you, because anything may happen to you, and others can conspire to kill you.
And that might be disrespectful to your elders.
Yes, it may be. I mean, they are naughty, and then they get disciplined and so on. It's a school. They know, some of them just get there and they are still very naughty, they can steal food when they are not supposed. They can tell them three days you are not going to eat, and one may decide to eat, and then it's discipline and so on and so on. So all those things is part of a formation.
Sure.
Now, is each one of these village initiation schools independent, or is there some kind of national or statewide supervision of any of that kind of thing?
I can see you're thinking,
yeah,
as a 1992 mind applying. No, there is absolutely no association of these things, you know.
It's just independent.
They're completely independent. And I think I should follow up your question by just overemphasizing this thing, that they are a dying species.
They're what?
They are dying. They are a dying species.
Okay.
They are very, very few. In my memory, as I remember at home, it was when I grew up, it was so common around which months? August? No, it would be around August or July, just after our winter. It would be so common for the whole township every weekend to have candidates coming, graduating, every candidate. But today, it's very, very rare. You can hear that a child of so-and-so is coming out of initiation. Because many parents think that it's better to put your child through grade school and becomes a teacher rather than for him to become. And unfortunately, this is the funny part, unfortunately, they're beginning to see where they're missing. Because now this young, the people like me, who never went, we may have a proper college degrees, but we are very poor family people. There is a high divorce, a general loosening of social practices. And now parents are beginning to see that one of the reasons is because these children, they are not properly prepared or trained And then they begin to remember that the institution which used to play this role is this, but we left it. For an example, the same teachers which I was talking about, who are these wise elders of the village, they are also a dying species. There are fewer and fewer of them. Today, if you find one, you must also ask yourself whether is he not a trickster. Does he not want to take your cow, which is part of the fee that you pay this elder person for guiding your child? Mm-hmm. So now, all this thing is part of this crisis that I've been saying of the confrontation of Christianity in Africa. And tomorrow, I will conclude by sharing with you part of the crisis that is part of this, what I call the battle of the gods. Here is the god of a particular culture, kind of god. And I'm trying to show how the evangelization of Africa is not necessarily smooth, peaceful, but it has its own victims. I think the important thing behind that is to begin to see that Christianity is capable of accommodating certain things which we mistakenly cut out by simply saying they are unchristian. There is nothing wrong in Christianity accommodating certain education goals which can prepare its members, even if it's members of the church, to become better husbands, better wives, better children, better career people, business people, teachers, and so on and so on.
You said there were strengths of the confirmation process as well.
Yes.
But I didn't hear any.
Yeah. Well, I think that the idea is that confirmation, obviously, is supposed to impart a certain interpretation of the gospel to these, so that they begin to see what it means to live selflessly, if you are called to, what discipleship means, what is the meaning of love your neighbor. All those things are not necessarily part of the initiation interpretation. And so you can begin to say confirmation can give a certain depth to other things which are just taken superficially. Provided you really take confirmation seriously, that it's crucial because it is preparing young people for adulthood, and adulthood is not just something you fall into, you grow into it, and it has its own challenges. And this is where my problem is with the current understanding of confirmation, is that you were baptized as an infant, you just need to explain what that baptism is so that you can accept communion. Now, this is not an African understanding of confirmation, because confirmation is a power of initiation. And once you understand what initiation is, you can begin to know what is being expected out of confirmation.
I was just thinking that my husband and I teach confirmation for several years, and the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters in it, and there's interesting bits of wisdom in that book, and ironically there's about 31 sessions for a year's worth of confirmation. You could take one of those chapters in each session and plug in your initiation right there.
Yeah, I think that another important thing is that initiation was the children could easily take seriously because they could see that their parents take it seriously. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, confirmation, how can a child take what the pastor is teaching him if the parents are just indifferent to it? They don't ask, what were you taught? And explain it. That it's something that you just have to go through.
Yeah.
And so it devalues what's supposed to be. So this is the part of the so what that I'm trying to throw to you.
I just read how people had thought that if, say, in the slums in New York and places like that, where there's so many young Black and Asian students who are disillusioned or have leadership, this would be the very type of thing that could be useful to them, that a way to have a belonging with each other. They went into bands of, you know, the groups of colors and groups and stuff, because they needed that sense of belonging.
I think.
And it sure be nice to have some of this for them to have a class of 92 combined initiation and confirmation or something, so they could